shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and the little child will lead them. The cow will feed the bear. Their young will lie down together. And the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. I wonder sometimes whether it is possible for me to stop judging by what I see and hear. What possible measure can be used to judge the people of this world if it is not by what they do or say? But this is the story of Emmanuel, God with us. This is how he will bring peace to all. It is the story of God becoming a human child, living and dying for us, not because he has judged us worthy of such sacrifice, but because he loves us. We are judged not by what we do or say, but according to his love and grace. And that means that we are all welcome. Doubters and debtors, addicted and broken, grumpy and resentful, those who hurt and those who have hurt others, the sick and the dying and the grieving, all of us, alongside the well and the joyful and the righteous, all of us judged and loved. All of us called to a new life where we turn from our sin and look to our Saviour. Where we live in unity, in harmony with those we disagree with, those we hate, those who have hurt. There in the presence of God. He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering, familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions and was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray, each of us turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? But he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. That's a hard passage to read. It's probably a hard passage to hear as well. Baby Jesus, meek and mild, despised and rejected, suffering, in pain, oppressed. But this is where the road that starts in Bethlehem leads. I think probably this is why Christmas is a huge celebration for everyone, for those who believe and those who don't, whereas Easter is largely ignored by those who don't follow Jesus. Christmas is full of animals and gifts and a cute little baby at the center, a miraculous baby, a child of promise. Christmas is full of hope, full of anticipation and expectation. Easter is full of death. It is brutal. It is a story of disappointment and an anticlimactic end. There is no great battle with the promised one overthrowing the invaders. There is no great new age that dawns with Jesus sat on an earthly throne. Instead, when Jesus is raised up, it is upon a cross. The great new age starts, but it starts quietly, among three women and 12 men who saw the impossible. Christ alive when he should be dead. It is a revolution that started more than 2,000 years ago, but is still rumbling on, still yet to come to completion. It is not neat and cute and lovely like Christmas. Christmas can be just a nice story, but Easter demands a response. How on earth do you respond to someone dying for your sake? The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. These are the verses Jesus quoted at the start of his ministry. The day he was born, the revolution started. I wonder if you feel in need of this type of savior today. One who proclaims good news to the poor, who binds up the brokenhearted, release for those who have been captive, who shines light into the darkest places. Do you need comfort, joy, praise in place of mourning, grief, and despair? Do you maybe know someone else who does? We have all, like lambs, gone astray. But our Saviour is one who does not settle for the 99. He seeks out the lost and rejoices in its return. He rejoices in your presence as part of his flock. He has loved you and set you free that you might join his revolution, his kingdom, his family. He does not need you to be any different from who you are in order to love you. But because he loves you, he wants you to be different, to be transformed and to shine like the stars in the sky, to reflect his glory. This is why we have Christmas, because of the great love of the God who created you to be awesome. A great love reaching out to set us back on track, That is why we celebrate tomorrow, and it's why we gather here today and every week, to play our part in his family, to come and adore him, to worship him, and remember all that he has done. Going to pray, and then we will sing a song as we prepare ourselves to gather around his table. Father God, we thank you that we can come and adore you. Not a baby in a manger, but the Lamb who was slain for us, the one who made it possible for us to draw close to you. And as we gather around your table in just a moment, we pray that we might know your Spirit moving in this place, sweeping us up into your glorious presence, binding us to you and to one another as your family. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.